Is where we are tonight for our fifth time, and we still aren't going to finish the chapter. As you've probably discovered, it's the most important chapter in the book of Numbers. So much has happened in this chapter, but the primary thing that's happened in this chapter, of course, was the murmuring of God's people against the Lord, and God's subsequent punishment for the 10 times that he's been tempted, and that is they are not now allowed to go into the promised land. And there's two amazing things that we see in this passage tonight, verses 36 to 45, and that is, number one, the power of words. And beyond that, number two, that if God's not in it, it won't prosper. So notice verse 36 of Numbers 14, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword. Because you are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them even unto Hormah. So I'm going to take my title from 44, They Presumed to Go Up. Let's pray. Lord, use your word now in our hearts to teach us important lessons that we need to serve you. Guide us in your truth. And Lord, may we listen and be responsive to the Holy Spirit tonight. In Christ's name we ask, amen. So again, two things we really see here tonight, the power of words. And if God's not in it, it won't prosper. Amen. So let's start with the power of words. You know that verse that comes to mind, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Boy, if anything brings it home, this does, doesn't it? Think about it. The words that those 10 spies spake had the power to prevent 3 million people from going into the promised land. Wow. And they all died in the desert. So literally death was in the power of their words. Because that's what God says about it. That's why he killed these men. He says, verse 37, those men that did bring up the evil report died by the plague. God killed those 10 spies right there on the spot. For doing what? For what they said. Because they brought up an evil report about the promised land, God literally killed them. And so it shows the power of words. And, you know, we are told in James, we looked at James maybe a couple years ago, the Bible says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The power of the tongue. The Bible talks so much about it. Proverbs 6, verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Proverbs 16:28, a whisperer separateth friends. Proverbs 17:9, he that repeateth the matter separateth friends. 1 Corinthians 8:12, but when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. And so if anything, we see that and come to life, this truth, that death and life are the power of the tongue, that these men, they all spied together. But then they had a choice about what they had to say about what they found, didn't they? And Caleb and Joshua said, yes, there's giants. Yes, there's walled cities. But this is God's will. Let's go. If God be with us, we can take the promised land. But the 10 said we can't do it, which we've seen already. And now God has killed them. They're gone, those 10 spies. Anybody here be able to give me the names of even one of the 10 spies? Who are they? We don't even know, do we? We don't remember. But we definitely remember the names of Joshua and Caleb, don't we? Praise God. Because they said, look at up in verse 8 of Numbers 14, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is parted from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Amen. It's a good sermon, isn't it? That's Joshua and Caleb. Same spying, same 40 days in the promised land. This was their perspective, but the 10. They're dead now. But God said in verse 38, Joshua and Caleb, they lived still. And they had to live, think about it, for 40 years. They had to watch all their friends and family over 20 years die in the desert. And then they had to wait till they were old men to see the promise fulfilled of going into the promised land. How sad. All because those 10 spies didn't have the faith to trust God, and they passed that lack of faith on to the people with their words. So after all of this, now the people have been told they're not going in. The people have been told they're going to wander the desert for 40 years, a year per day, that the land was spied out. Remember, we saw that last week. What did they do? Verse 39, they mourned greatly. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. And in verse 40, they even admitted that they were wrong. It says, and they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. But this isn't New Testament, is it? This is Old Testament. The blood of Jesus has not been shed yet. And God already told them, verse 22, all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times. Remember, we even looked at the 10 times. It's a literal 10. God reached his limit. Remember the first 6, there was no punishment. For the last 4, there was punishment each time. Aren't you thankful you don't live in the Old Testament days? That we live under grace. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Because if it only takes 10 times for God to say that's enough, we'd all be dead, wouldn't we? We'd be gone because we've all tempted God more than 10 times. But they're gone. The 10 spies are gone. The people have been, their punishment's been declared. And so they said, we sinned. That's a good thing, but it's too late. So Moses said, verse 41, wherefore do you now transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper? I hear what you're saying, that you admit that you were wrong and that you are sorry that you didn't trust God. But it's too late. God's already pronounced the punishment. So if you try to go up now, it won't prosper. That word prosperous isn't in the Bible very much. But most of us know Joshua 1:8 quite well, don't we? That talks about prospering. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then Roy's favorite part, then thou shalt have good success. Which is the meaning of his surname, Good Success. Make thy way prosperous. It comes down to the key word, by the way, in Joshua 1:8 isn't prosperous or success. It's the word do. That thou mayest observe to do. Two-letter word, do, according to all that is written therein. Obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Another passage that we know quite well that talks about prosperity is Psalms 1. We can turn there quickly if you'd like. Most of us probably know the passage, Psalms 1, 1 through 3. But that also mentions prosperity. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So God here is giving us the secret to true prosperity. Did you notice how both passages are about God's word and about obeying and meditating in God's word? Well, Israel, he said, it's not going to prosper because it's done. You've tempted God the 10 times, and this is your punishment. It's not going to be undone. You are going to wander in the desert for 40 years, and everybody over 20 is going to die, and that can't be changed. It's done. Why? Verse 42. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. That's why it won't be prosperous, because God is not going to be with it. If God was with them, they could go in and take the promised land, like the two spies said, Joshua and Caleb. If God's with us, remember that was in their qualification, if God be with us, then we can do this. But Moses is telling them, the Lord is not among you. God is not with you. If God is not in it, it's fruitless. That's what we can learn from this tonight. Jesus said, John 15:5, without me, you can do. Anybody know that last word? Nothing. If God's not in it, that's what we can accomplish. Absolutely nothing. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? But God has to be for us. Amen? He wasn't for them. It's too late. Romans 8:37, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. If the Lord's among us, we can do anything. But if the Lord's not among us, if the Lord is not with us because we're not living obediently, we're not in the Word of God, that we're going to accomplish grand total of that. Nothing. So verse 43, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there. Yep, the spies have told us about that. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to fall by the sword. If you do this, if you presume to go up on that hill and you presume to go in the promised land, which God already said you're not allowed to do now, you're all going to die. Because, there it is, you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. Look at James 4:8, the equivalent verse for this statement. James chapter 4, verse 8. It always starts with us. If we want God on our side, if we want God to be with us in our endeavors, it starts with us. Because God never changes. God is always right. God is always powerful. It's us that needs to come to God. Amen? James 4:8, what does it say? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Amen? We want it to be the other way around, but it's not the other way around. Because it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. We're the one that has to make the changes. We're the ones that have to get rid of the sin in our lives before we can come close to God so that he will come close to us. That's what it means to draw nigh, is to get close to someone. So if we want God to be close to us, if we want to accomplish things for the cause of Christ, it's us that has to draw nigh to God. And that's what he's saying. You've turned away from God through your disobedience, through your lack of faith, through your murmuring. So don't think that God is now with you, because he's not. You've turned away from him. That's what he said. You have turned away from the Lord. Therefore, he's not with you. That's always been true, and that's still true even for Christians. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But if you draw away from God, then you're not close to God. And he's not in it. You don't have the power. Jesus in Matthew 15 was talking about the Pharisees. Let's turn there, verse 7. And he talked about how the Jews of that day were, many of them were saying, yes, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is great, Jesus is our master, and so forth. But Jesus says they were just words. Notice Matthew 15:7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He's saying, yes, with their lips they're honoring me, but their heart isn't. And Moses said, you've turned away from the Lord. He will not be with you. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. But again, in that verse, who has to make the first move? If ye abide in me, we're the ones that have to abide in him. We're the ones that have to draw nigh to him for him to be with us. So Moses made it very clear, if you go up, you will die. Well, we've been watching Israel now for quite a while. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to listen to Moses? Of course not. They're going to go up. Verse 44, they presumed to go up the hill, under the hilltop. How many things do Christians do when they're just presuming that it's God's will? They're just presuming that God is in it, that God is with them. I mean, how many times have I heard this statement? It just felt right. I had a peace about it. Or the Holy Spirit told me to do it. I've just heard these phrases so many times. Okay, are you presuming or is this definitely of God? Because there's a lot of presumption going on. And God gets blamed for a lot of stuff that God didn't lead you to do. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Does it not? Jeremiah 17:9, and desperately wicked, who can know? We can't trust our heart. We can't trust our feelings. We can't trust our emotions. We can only trust the Word of God. So we got to be careful not to presume, oh, this is definitely what God wants. Let's go. Don't presume, because if God's not in it, it's going to fail. Definitely it's going to fail. And that's what happened here. They presumed. Whenever we set out to do something and it's not of God and it's not with God's power, we're just presuming. And the end result, verse 45, the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites which dwelt on that hill and smote them. They died. Don't you wish that wasn't the result over and over again? But it has been. Plagues, fire, punishment, they died. And if God's not in it, it will fail. So we need to not presume. We need to make sure we have drawn nigh to God. We know that we're in God's will. We know we're close to God. We know sin's been dealt with in our life. So that we know we're going in God's power and God's will. Don't presume to say, oh, I know God's in this, and set out to do it, and we're not close to God. That's just foolishness, because it's going to fail. So many lessons here, eh? The power of words. The words from 10 guys caused 3 million people to not get to go in the promised land and die. Imagine that. Death and life are definitely in the power of the tongue in that situation. And then it will not prosper if God's not in it. Make sure God is in it, because it's not going to prosper otherwise. Great lessons from Israel and their behavior. And the lessons will only but continue. But the Bible says they presumed to go up. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would not be presumptuous about your power and about your presence. Lord, we would be aware of our own standing and our sin, that we know we've dealt with it, that we know we've drawn nigh to you. We've cleansed our hands, we've purified our hearts. And we're close to you. And Lord, when the devil leads us to presume, may we stop. and realize that it's going to fail if you're not in it. So I pray that we would be very, very aware of this in our standing, in our closeness to Thee. And Lord, that we would go forward and serve You. And we would cross that Jordan when You tell us to. And we would serve You in the promised land as You want us to. Thank You for speaking to our hearts. We love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.